Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast, where technology, teaching creativity, and innovation take center stage in the real world of education. Now, here's your host, Matt Miller.
Hi, and welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. My name is Matt Miller, and this episode is brought to you from the Ditch That Textbook blog at ditchthattextbook.com. Ditch That Textbook is all about teaching with less reliance on the textbook, with an emphasis on using technology and creative teaching ideas. This is a special series of podcasts based on the Indiana Department of Education's Summer of E-Learning Conferences. These podcasts will connect you with some of the great thinkers and doers in the educational technology community. And today with me, I have Will Richardson, author, parent, former public school teacher of 22 years, international speaker, and he blogs at willrichardson.com. So Will, thanks for being with me. And I wanted to just sort of get your take on something that you said in a talk in the past. You said that, I think I've got this, if you think that your kids won't be interacting with strangers on the internet for the rest of their learning lives, then you're crazy. And you mentioned something about how we need to move sort of in the direction of getting over what you called stranger danger. So I wondered if you could just sort of talk a little bit about the importance of doing that.
Sure. And first, thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate it. Good to be in Indiana. I think I'm going to live here for part of the summer. But anyway, thanks for having me. I just think that, you know, this is a world that's growing very rapidly in terms of our ability to connect to other people, and that much of our learning is going to take place in these kind of virtual spaces with people who we don't know. And part of getting literate at that is helping our kids understand, you know, what that looks like. It's a really good thing. Learning from strangers has a huge upside, and there are certain things we have to be careful of, and we have to help our kids identify good strangers from bad strangers. But to say to our kids, you can't learn with people who you don't know, people who are online, people from, you know, around the world, I think that's kind of limiting their opportunities to explore all that's possible now in terms of learning. So the more we kind of get our practice around interacting with strangers online, the better I think we can inform our kids' practice on that.
Yeah. And are there any particular things that you think should be done, or that maybe are overdone, that are kind of unnecessary? Or are there any practices around that whole idea you think that teachers should either go towards or maybe away from?
Well, I think teachers need to get networked. I mean, I think teachers need to start learning in communities and networks online. And, you know, that will give them kind of that perspective, that lens, or that context, if you will, for how to help kids do it. There's no substitute, if you're a teacher right now, from becoming actively engaged as an online learner. There's just no way around it. You can't teach your kids to be safe if you don't really know what that means. So, you know, that's kind of the moment that we're in. I think there are a lot of people who really aren't online enough, who aren't interacting in these ways that are pretty powerful, and so they can't counsel and they can't model for our kids, and we need to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. In your keynote this morning, you were talking about the difference between traditional learning and modern learning, and the direction that the world seems to be going, and how it sort of flies in the face of what schools are doing these days. And I was wondering, what can individual teachers, do you think, just, you know, I am one teacher in a school, you know, maybe going against the entire culture of the traditional school, what can they do, you know, when you're in this whole stand and deliver traditional school environment to make learning environments better for kids?
Well, and let's be clear. I mean, there are a lot of reasons and a lot of barriers and expectations that really don't support changing what you do right now. And I totally understand that. I mean, especially here in Indiana with all of the pressures coming down on the evaluations from testing and whatever else. I mean, this is a really difficult thing. And I think, you know, to just say that we can do this easily is just not right. I mean, this is hard work. But assuming that we've done the time, put in the time to kind of network ourselves and become more modern learners ourselves in our own, you know, in our own lives, then I think that the key is that we start somewhere. We start small. We take one thing in the curriculum that seems to make sense in terms of giving kids more agency over it, giving kids more choice to follow their passions to it, giving them the access and the environments and, you know, the networks to learn with others outside of the classroom. I mean, if we take one thing of our curriculum, we're not going to put those test scores in jeopardy. And we're also then going to see other places in the curriculum where we can begin to develop practice like that. So, you know, I think teachers get overwhelmed by the message sometimes, and I totally understand that it's a huge, overwhelming message. But I think practically, if we could find one place to start, one small segment of the curriculum, I think that's the way to attack it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that totally makes sense. In your book, Why School? One that I just recently have gotten a chance to take a look at and, you know, highly recommend. It's a quick read, but it's, you know, it's full of really great ideas. You mentioned how the critics criticized low test scores in the United States, but the scores of the kids in the high income areas basically top almost every test score category. You mentioned that it seems to be the product of the United States deep issues with poverty, not necessarily with a broken education system. So what do you think that states or the U.S. in general or even individual teachers can do about it?
Well, that's probably more intractable than education problems, or the change in education right now is the poverty problem we have. You know, certainly this country doesn't have a lot of good ideas right now when it comes to fixing that problem. And yet it is, without question, one of the main causes of our educational issues. There's a huge divide that's happening right now. That divide is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And technology is kind of fueling that divide, to be honest with you, because people with access and people who know what to do with that access are going to learn much more deeply and widely than kids who don't have that access or, you know, don't know what to do with it. I don't know what the answer is. I don't really know how to fix that problem. That's something that's going to take national leadership. You know, we individual teachers, I'm sure, are doing what they can do to help kids who come to school that haven't been fed, are barely clothed, haven't had people read to them. I mean, those problems are huge. But I think, you know, again, as much as we can do to engage kids around the things that they care about, you know, and give them opportunities to really talk about and understand the pieces of their lives that they have a lot of passion for, in whatever kind of form that takes, I think it's important to do. But that's not a great answer. It's a really, really tough problem, and I'm not the one to offer up a great solution for it right now.
Yeah, but you've got the sort of the individuals at the grassroots level doing little by little, and that's at least
as we can. Yeah, as much as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you one more thing.
Sure.
We had a session today about information literacy and information leadership, and I thought that term information leadership was interesting, and I just wanted to get sort of your take on what you think information leadership is and how do we achieve it as teachers.
Well, I think, you know, literacy is changing. I mean, if you look at the National Council of Teachers of English, 6 bullet points on literacy, the ones that I always kind of trot out, there's one in there about manage, analyze, synthesize multiple streams of simultaneous information. That's what they say. And that's definitely about information literacy around how we do that. But I think leadership is then using those skills and applying that literacy in ways that helps to teach, inform, you know, spread knowledge, curate knowledge, and do all that stuff that we can do in these networks now. So it's about being transparent. It's about constantly trying to connect people and not just one another, but to good information. And it's about modeling all of that for either your students or if you're in leadership positions for the teachers in your schools. So I think that it's one thing to be able to manage and analyze all that stuff and to be information literate in somewhat the traditional sense, given the scale that we're talking about. But it's another thing then to really be an advocate for, you know, for teaching and for using these types of technologies to help other people get more educated, more literate, and show ways to do that.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, hey, I appreciate you talking with us today. And again, if you have any more questions or if you're interested in what Will has to say, his website is willrichardson.com. And thank you for listening.